Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. It is turkey season, and I have one of the greatest turkeys waiting in the wings here to talk this morning, Mr. Joe Arterburn. How you like that one, bud?
Yeah, real funny.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't do that. You'll just hang up. And thank you for being on tap for my backup this morning, because my regular guest we could not get a hold of, the one that I had scheduled. So appreciate that, man.
I always appreciate being Plan B.
Oh, I had another one, but I'm not going to say it.
Or, yeah, Plan B or C, whatever it was.
We're right, you know, well into archery season with turkeys. Have you been talking to any archers?
Not so much archers, but man, all I'm seeing and thinking is turkeys these days.
Oh yeah.
I don't hunt them with a bow. I hunt them with shotguns. I was out patterning a shotgun yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Very good. Now, which one are you patterning and getting ready?
Well, this is my 20 gauge Thompson Center, Encore single shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm getting it all, got it patterned in, but then I got to thinking maybe it's time to get into the new century, and I ordered a Vortex red dot sight, so I'm probably going to end up starting all over and sighting it in with that.
You know, we are both weaponry aficionados, let's put it that way. And I just picked up a 20-gauge out of an auction in, I believe it was Illinois. And it got here Wednesday. And I'm hoping to have it ready maybe for our hunt that we have later. It's the base shotguns is just a solid old Stevens 311, double barrel side by side. But this gun was made back in the early 40s, World War II time frame. And there was a huge hardware outfit at the time in this country called Shapley. And it was kind of like a modern-day Amazon. They didn't make anything, but they distributed a lot. You know, had it, you know, ordered it in and shipped it out. And on the side of this thing, they would get something from another manufacturer and then put their own brand on it. Huh. And on the side of this thing, it says Shapley Nitro King 20 gauge, right. Which just sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a turkey killer.
And a Tenite stock, so it's got some rare elements to it, and I'm hoping to have it ready for the hunt.
What's it choked at?
Choked it full and modified for a 20 gauge.
Yeah.
So it would be a good turkey gun.
How do you think it's going to do with these modern loads? You going to shoot some TSS, tungsten to it or anything?
If I could find some. Otherwise, I'll stick with my buffered fives.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple other Stevens 311 shotguns, and they are more than capable of handling modern loads.
I'm bringing some Apex ammo to turkey camp. Maybe I have to give some of that a try.
Okay. 12 or 20 or both?
Both kinds,
okay. The one I was thinking about bringing to camp, if I don't have this Shapley ready, I've got a 1912 Ivor Johnson solid rib trap gun. And I have made shots out to 45 yards with it. It's a long, you know, the old term long tom. This one qualifies. So
that's what they mean.
So let's.
Well, that sounds like an interesting one too.
Well, it is, and everybody else has got to have their super semi-auto, blah blah blah. And I'm shooting something that's, you know, well over 100 years old. So
yeah, well, there'll be some contrast then, because. Benelli's sending out some shotguns for the camp as well.
What are they sending us? Which one?
Well, I haven't seen them yet, but they said they were coming from the performance center, so I'm not sure what that is going to mean.
Do they all have to go home?
that'll be, yeah, yet to be seen.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about turkey hunting in general with spring hunting. You know, right now, with the rule changes that we've had this year for turkey hunting, you can only get two permits, and you can only take one tom a day. Yep. So what's kind of your strategy for early season hunting?
Well, first off, I like the changes. I'm glad they reacted to what they saw as declining numbers in the turkeys. So I think it just makes sense. I mean, one thing about Nebraska, it was always a popular destination for non-resident hunters because you could shoot up to three turkeys. And as you know, some people right. came in and tried to shoot their three turkeys in one day. And that just had to be tough on the flock. So I support the changes they made. I mean, I've got some non-resident friends that missed out, but that's just because they didn't get in early enough. I mean, it seemed like if you got in early enough, non-residents could have gotten their tags in pretty decent time. That may change as word gets out, but you know, so far so good.
They had limited the number of out-of-state permits to 10,000, and as of last week, they were all sold out.
Yeah, I think they sold out on March 24th, I believe they yep. said. They started selling them in January, so I mean, there was plenty of time. Like I said, it'll just be interesting to see. I wonder what the number was of people that would have come. You know, what if 10,000... 20,000 sold out? Is it, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. That 10,000 might sell out a lot quicker because everybody will get on faster, the ones that didn't get them this year.
Right. So what's your approach as far as, let me ask it this way. We'll just do a... let's say decoys. Start with decoys. Do you use decoys in the spring?
I usually carry a Jake and a hen with me just because they're easy enough to take along, you know. I'll use them if I think I need them. If I get in there at the right setup, I definitely try to set them up. I use Primos decoys a lot. Depends on if it's a real run and gun situation, they might not come out of the bag. But if it's a true setup, I'll set them up and, you know, hunker in. If I get a response, then, you know, quiet calling and then try to let the decoys do the work after that once you get them in sight.
Is there any specific type of setup you use when you've got you know, your Jake or a Tom and a hen?
Yeah, it seems like I don't use a Tom a lot, but I always try to get the Jake set up near the hen and the hen in sort of a suggestive pose and the Jake in an aggressive pose toward the hen.
That's exactly the setup I've got. I've got a hen that is on the ground, in the grass,
right.
which is a breeding pose. And then I have a partial strut Jake that I put near it. And if the boss gobbler is anywhere within eyesight and he sees that, he just can't tolerate it.
Yeah, yeah.
They come charging in then.
Yeah, you play on the territoriality, the jealousy aspect of it, and get him fired up.
You mentioned that you don't use your Tom, a full strut gobbler, very often. I don't either. And I think that particularly if you've got younger Toms around and you put out some big full strut gobbler decoy, that's intimidating. I think more of them run away from it than come to it.
Yeah. I think a lot of those younger ones have gotten their butts kicked before, you know, and they're not going to come in and challenge. I mean, it would have to be a dominant gobbler to take on another gobbler. So
that's
you're
right.
kind of limiting your opportunities out there.
What about calls? What do you do for calls?
Oh, I'm pretty much a pot call, slate call kind of guy. I like to be able to kind of feel the call and feel the friction a little bit. I also back it up with a diaphragm call. Maybe more more for the softer, you know, yelps, that kind of thing, the cuts a little bit, that kind of stuff. But kind of a combination of both. I'll use a box call more if I need to be loud, I guess, you know, as more of a locator finding or get something mm-hmm. fired up. Mm-hmm. But then I usually wind down to something subtle. I try not to call all the way in. You know, if I got decoys out, I like to, once the tom's coming in, see those decoys, I kind of like to let the decoys do the work. You know, the more you call, the more likelihood to get spotted, I think.
Right. That's one of the reasons I like a diaphragm is if I'm in a little more open, you know, not concealed as well as I think I should be, I'll use that diaphragm call because there's very little movement with it.
Yeah, that's definitely a factor. And yeah, I mean, that usually went down. Yeah, if they're starting to come in, then, you know, the pot call and I'm laying the striker, that's laying down on the grass beside me, and I'm just with the diaphragm call.
Yep. We got to take a break here, sir, but we'll be back in a few minutes and talk some more turkey.
All right, sounds good.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Joe Arterburn, the grand master of turkey hunting camps and hunting camps in general, and fishing camps and anything else.
Yeah, now that's a better introduction. Yeah,
I'll admit, man, I have never been in better camps than, you know, when I'm out there with you, wherever we're going, and all the other people that are there. I have modeled my way of setting up camps very similar to the Otterburn model, just because it works and it works well.
it's tried and true. Hey, speaking of that, we do have some talking we need to do. We need to start talking recipes for turkeys. What are we going to do with some turkeys in camp?
Well, we'll be a few miles away from a McDonald's and a Pizza Hut. We can. No.
In case we don't get a turkey.
There is no way I'm going to do that. Yeah, we need to do that. You got a great turkey enchilada. Recipe that I've heard so much about.
Yeah. I mean, I was digging through that through my files when you called. I got it sitting here. But also in grouse camp last year, Brooks of Camp Chef made a delicious grouse noodle soup. And he said you can also do that with turkey.
I think that should be on the menu then.
Yeah, I've kind of... He was, of course, doing it off the top of his head, which is, you know, brilliant, but I can't do that. So I made him write everything down, and so I'm kind of putting it together in an actual recipe format so we can copy that. And
I'm
going to bring that.
When I get back to the house this afternoon or whenever, I'll look through my recipes and pull out the ones that are good for turkey camp.
Yeah, let's get that figured out, because I know a couple of the guys there, they want to eat turkey, and why wouldn't we?
I still want to, and I mentioned it to you, I think, but we get a full bird back in camp, we can bake him in my trash can cooking rig.
Yeah, you make it sound so good, cooking it in a trash can.
Yeah, it's a 35-gallon steel can. And under the lid, there's a hook, and then you wire up your bird and hang it on the hook, and then the base of this thing is filled with coals and stuff, and you cook it that way. That traps the heat, keeps it in there. It sits over there, and, you know, you get downwind, you get all the aroma and whatever else. It's pretty unique.
All right. Are the coals inside the can or outside
Yes,
the can?
Yes, they're inside the can.
They're inside the can.
So you can.
All right, have to see it to believe it. So yeah, I'm going to try it.
I have done turkeys, ducks, and wild hog in it. So it works pretty good.
Okay. All right, I guess I can be convinced.
It's definitely one that has to sit outside the tent to do the cooking.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
With the smoke and everything that comes off of it, but it's pretty unique. And then, well, you know, your imagination is whatever you want to do for your basting, whatever you make for that. Uh-huh. And you can lift it up periodically and slather some more basting on it and put it back down on the top of the can and keep going.
First things first, we better get a turkey.
True. And then the backup is Pizza Hut or McDonald's.
I'm not coming out of camp.
I hear you.
I'm not going to town.
I hear you. We're not doing that. So what else do we need to tell people that want to go turkey hunting? What else do we need to talk about? You mentioned shotguns. Do you have a particular type, be it 12-gauge, 20-gauge, and then the shot that you like to use?
Well, more and more I'm getting into the smaller gauges. I used to be definitely a 12-gauge aficionado all the way, but nowadays with the new shot, the tungsten, the TSS, that sort of thing, you can definitely get away with a lot smaller gauges. I shot one last year with a 410, and it dropped in like he was poleaxed. You know, it's
nice.
32 yards, 410, single shot, and it's a savage single shot, and it was Fiocchi shells, and it, wow. So that's kind of where I'm at, and I was already kind of switching down to 20-gauge anyway, even with lead shot, but even with tungsten now, I think it makes me even more comfortable. The tungsten, I mean, they pack a pretty good punch, I mean, even in the 20-gauge, but, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm bringing a 12-gauge along to camp as well. I'm bringing my Ipica 37, just my trusty one, and probably just some nice, some Winchester shells that I like, you know.
Yep. That's just
kind of as a backup, standard stuff. Yep. Longbeard, I guess, Winchester Longbeard.
If I'm hunting with a 12, it's usually buffered 5 Winchesters, 3-inch magnums. They do well.
Yeah.
So we got
it. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's, I don't know, I used to just kind of go out and hunt turkey, you know, grab my shotgun and go. But now every year I definitely pattern it, even though I'm pretty sure, especially if I switch ammunition. I noticed last year when I switched the TSS on my 20-gauge, that changed the pattern dramatically.
Oh, I write about that about this time every year, that if you're changing something from what you had, go out and repattern, because a new choke and a different shell can make a lot of difference.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, was trying out. I had two different chokes and with the TSS ammunition, and you hate to shoot up all your TSS ammunition and, you know, patterning, but it's a good thing I
you need to
did
do
it, because it I would have missed a bird, you know, standing right out there.
Well, we're out of time, partner.
What?
Yes.
We just got started.
I know, but
we got a lot more to talk about.
You and Dick Turpin, I could have an hour show and never say anything.
that's probably true.
Anyway, appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for being my safety valve there, bud.
Anytime. Anytime. Right. You want to talk turkeys, anything like that, you let me know.
10-4. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.